He thought Calvary Chapel's mission should be what's in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Christ talking. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So if that's the mission of us as Calvary Chapel, Los Alamos, so that's the mission we want to take up, then this is screaming that about missions, right? We need to be going out telling people about the gospel. We need to be telling people they are free, that we can give them freedom from sin, that we can give them a way to go back to their Creator and have fellowship with him, that we really do have the answer for the problems of the world. If we don't believe that those things are true, then we really should go back and pray about what we think about our own faith. If we don't believe that faith in Christ is a solution to man's problems, if we don't believe that faith in Christ is the way to be free, then we have some soul searching to do. And if we truly do believe that, and we have the cure for what man is suffering from, then we need to go give it to the world. If not, that's very selfish, and that's very cowardly not to share what we have. So I have just a few verses I want to talk about, and then I want to show a video at the end that the Philippines church that I visited last time, they made this as a, as close as I would say they could say, a promotional video to get you to go to the Philippines. I will apologize, there's a couple scenes where I'm in a bathing suit. Nobody should ever have to see that, but it's in there, so if you need to, you can cover your eyes, as my daughters will already. And they're forced to see on family vacation, so even they're going to suffer. So let's go to Matthew 28:16. You guys probably are all familiar with this verse. It's the Great Commission. Starting in verse 16, it says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Interesting things to remember about this is, if you think about when this is occurring, right? Christ has just appeared back to them. He had been crucified, tortured. They had seen him be, beaten and whipped, had been scorned upon, spit upon, probably treated horribly. They had just witnessed this. And Christ has now, of course, been raised from the dead, and he's meeting with his disciples and his apostles, and he's talking about what his plans are for them. I like the fact they say some were doubtful. I like the Bible. It's a great book. It's realistic, right? It isn't just all fairy tales. It's reality. And I'm sure that they were listening to him talking about his plans for the world, and they were like, do you just remember what happened a few weeks ago, right? The world rejected you. They did horrible things to you. They killed you. And now you're telling us to go out and love these people. Go around and walk up to that person who had a sword last week and go up to them and say, what you did was wrong and I can save you. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to sacrifice my time, my life, put myself in harm to save you. It's pretty daunting task, and I'm glad they said some were doubtful, because I think a lot of people were like, are you sure that this is the right thing? The first thing about this I want to say also is he says, first of all, go. Go. It's a very small verb. It's a very hard verb. Go. Go where? Go into the nations. The nations to be could be your next-door neighbor, could be your co-worker, could be the Philippines, could be Puerto Rico to help with the earthquake, or it could be anywhere. If we're not really willing to go spread the gospel, then we probably don't really believe the gospel has the power to save the world. That's kind of, I know it's harsh, but that's kind of where I'm at. If I'm not willing to go tell people about it, then I don't think it's important. We have a lot of geeks in this town. I'm a geek, nerd geek. I don't know what the better term is, but I don't know what the difference is either. I like Star Wars and Star Trek and all those great things. And if something cool happened in a Star Trek movie, I would go tell people about it because I think it's important. Even though it's probably not that important to my wife and other people, it's important to me. If you really believe the gospel is important, you need to go share it. You should want to go share it. It should get you excited in the morning. It should make you want to go do it. Oh, by the way, just so you know, I'm not perfect at this either. I suffer with this all the time. So this is not me talking to you. This is me just talking to all of us here. We're all Christians. We're all real people. We all understand the power of the gospel, but sometimes we need to step back and understand it, to understand why we need to go share it. We have, like I said, the secret, the solution, the answer to man's problems. We have to share it. We have to want to share it. If we don't want to share it, then we need to go back and pray and think about this. So one thing I've heard and I thought about when I was younger a lot when I first started going to church is money, man. I can give money to missions, and money is important. I'm not going to say it's not important. Without money, most missions would fail. Money is critical. It also shows that you think it's important because you're investing your treasure in the church. All those are good things. But if we're not willing to go where we're putting our money, then we're actually paying missionaries to do something we're not willing to do. Just think about that. Like, I'm going to give missionaries money, but I'm never going to go. That's just basically saying, I'm going to give you money to do what I don't want to do. Now, it's not quite, I mean, there's reasons why you give missionaries money. Like I said, they need it. There's missionaries who can be more effective than us in many ways if they're local missionaries. We have to be willing at least to go, willing to go spread, willing to endanger our lives like we're asking them to endanger theirs. My mother-in-law is here, and she was in the Peace Corps, so I was thinking about Peace Corps stuff, preparing for this message, and there's a book, I don't know, I think my wife asked me to read it, called The Ugly American. It's a really interesting book if you haven't read it. It's about how we were losing the Cold War, and it was kind of how why the Peace Corps was formed a little bit. What was going on in the Cold War, which I think is parallel to us in the church and church sometime, is that the United States was trying to help the developing world. In the developing world, the way we were doing is we were sending them money. We were buying tractors for them and bicycles and cars, and we were sending them bucket loads of cash to try to help them out because they were poor and they were suffering. But we didn't really go. We just sent money. So we just sent money to government officials and said, use this money, go buy stuff. So what was happening is the Russians, who were competing also for the worldview, who was going to be, you know, the developing world, they didn't have any money. They would just show up, like a pair of jeans, T-shirt, walk up to someone and go, how can I help you? And they'd be like, well, you can help me by working the fields. Okay. They would go work in the fields. They had no money. They had no equipment. They had no great things to give. They weren't giving them clothes or food. They were just giving them time. But you all can guess, who do they remember as helping them? The Americans that gave them millions of dollars, or the two or three guys that were out there next to them in the field working? Yeah. That's why money's good, but you gotta go. You gotta show people you love them. It's something about that personal touch, something about going out and talking to people. It changes the way they look at you. Christ also said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So this is another, I think, Christianese, I think I'll call it, that I like to believe, that I hear stuff like, you know, people say things like, my life is a gospel, I live my life, and people look at my life, and that will teach them about the gospel. That's kind of true to a point, but if you read that part of the Great Commission, it seems like to me you got to go a little above and beyond that. And this is, I struggle with this at work, I struggle with this in my social life. If we're not actually teaching them the gospel, teaching them what Christ said, teaching them the laws, teaching them the commandments, we're not really doing what he said, right? We can live a great life and be nice people, and that's all good, and we should show love, and all those things are commanded by Christ. But if we're actually not telling people what Christ taught us, then we're not really doing the Great Commission. And I think that's, it's a little bit, I mean, being honest with myself here, a little bit of a cop-out when people say, like, well, I live a good life, and they'll get it from me by just the way I live. I don't think so. I'll be honest with you. When I was in high school, I had some good friends of mine that were Christians. And they, I played bass for their band. They asked me, said, hey, you play bass, come play with our group. So I did. I changed my life. It was a good thing. I stopped being, stopped drinking, stopped doing other things I was doing in high school. But I wasn't really a Christian until someone and from Campus Crusade came in my college and actually told me what it meant. So I spent 2 years with these guys and had no idea what a Christian really was. I just kind of knew that they lived a different way than I did. So your life's important, but you got to tell people. You got to be telling people. So now that we know what we're supposed to do, who are we supposed to be talking to? Like I already said, you know, Jesus was asking his disciples to go talk to the people that just crucified him. Apostles probably didn't like these people at all. I can imagine they were scared of them. I thought there was a lot of fear. They all ran away right at the garden. fear for their lives. But Jesus is saying, go talk to those people. Go spread your love with them. Go give your life for them. Go give the life for the world that rejected me. Go risk your life for those folks. Like I said, it says there were some that were doubtful, and I understand why. Now, before you think this is impossible, I always have to remember, and I wish there, and Pat, if they ever rewrite the Bible the way they put it together, please tell them not to separate Luke and Acts. Because we always forget that there's a Great Commission, and then we go out, but that's not what happened. Christ actually said, gave us some help. It says in Acts 1:4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then if you jump to Acts 2:2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise, like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Following that, I'm jumping to Acts 2:37, Peter gave his great evangelical speech in Jerusalem. He said, now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart after he gave his speech and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So we should all remember, we have that power today. So I know it's scary to think about going out into the world. It's scary to talk about the gospel. It's scary to even talk to your neighbors about why you're a Christian. It's definitely scary to think about going to some parts of the world and talking to people. But he gave us what we needed. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we forget that. We're not doing this on our own. We look at what we have to do when we go on a mission trip. And I was the same way when I went to the Philippines the first time. I was like, I don't know if I can do it. It's too scary. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm going to show up in this place. I don't even really know exactly how to get to the house I'm staying in. I don't even know if I speak the language. What am I going to do? But God just said, go, and I will provide, and he does. So if any of you guys are thinking about doing this, and I want you all to think about doing missions on some way, some level, remember, you're not going out alone. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will lift you up. He will give you confidence. He will give you what to say. You don't have to do this on your own. Now, one thing I've been struggling with about missions and prayer and who to spread the gospel with is that I don't know if you guys have been watching the news lately or the last 2 years, but you look at the Middle East and you see those people screaming death to the Americans and hatred, and you see, I would say, people that just hate us. And I see in our country similar, like people that don't like Christians are very obvious about it, can be very overt about it. You can see things on the news. You can see even hostile people personally. But then when I think about what I should do with that, my feeling is anger, right? I want to push back. People get mad at me, I push back, just like anyone else, I think. But then I've been reading the Bible, and I look back at the book of Jonah, right? If you guys know that book, if you have it, you should read it. It's a great little story about, to me, how and what we should look at the lost world. You know, Jonah's going to Nineveh. Ninevites were terrible people, absolutely terrible people. They used to... I think they were the one culture that cut people open and would take your intestines and then drop you off a wall, let you hang there until you died. Or they would pierce you through your body and let you sit on sticks until you died. That's how they treated the people they didn't like. That's how they treated the Jews. And you have Jonah is being told by God, go out and talk to them and tell them, not the gospel, but tell them how to be saved. Tell them, I care. God cares. He wants you saved. And Jonah does what I think honestly, I would be wanting to do, if it was, say that it was turned a bit and it was like, I want you to go to Iran and I want you to tell them that Christ can save them because I want to save their country. I think Jonah has a lot of what we would think, like, well, those people don't deserve that. Those people are terrible people. Why would I want to go do that? That's what Jonah thought, right? That's why he was running away, because he was like, I don't want to help those people. Those people are terrible people. And at the end of Jonah, and I won't quote it, but you guys can read it. It's a very interesting part where Jonah goes up on this hill to watch the town, and he wants God to destroy the town because they're awful people. But they don't. They repent, and God saves them. And Jonah's just angry about that. So God makes a plant, a tree, I don't know what it is they call it, to shade him because he's in the hot sun. And then God kills the tree, and he's all upset because God killed this tree. He's like, you're upset about this tree, but you weren't upset about these thousands of people that were going to die in this town because you don't like them. So if you look at that, to me it seems like we need to be willing to go anywhere to spread the gospel, not just where we want to go. And maybe Pat's going to find some new places for us to look at. I think that's what he's looking at. But we have to be willing to go wherever God wants us to go. And it's probably not always going to be the greatest places and the funnest places. The Philippines, I'll show you, they're trying to show you that it's a great place to go visit. The people are friendly, and they are very much good to us when we go there. But I do think we need to look at how we as a church, how Calvary Chapel can reach out to parts of the world that we haven't reached out so far. That's a challenge this year for me, is where I should go. If it's not the Philippines, where do I need to go that will be the biggest impact? It's interesting about loving our neighbors, and we always think about it's easy to love people we like, but and actually in our Bible study this morning, when I was reading it yesterday, I kind of thought it was interesting that if you look at where Jesus is talking about, you know, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and later he talks about the new commandment about love your neighbors as I loved you, that's how you'll be known. My disciples will be known as those that love each other. You forget that in that chapter, what else is going on? You look at the chapter, it starts off with washing the disciples' feet. It then talks about how he's going to be betrayed by Judas, how they're going to take him away, they're going to kill him. One of his best friends is going to betray him. And then he says, but I want you to love each other. I mean, so I think Jesus kind of understands the dichotomy. We have to love those that aren't lovable. That's what we're called to do. And the best way to love those people is to spread the gospel and tell them how to be saved. Tell them how we can cure what they ail, just like we did. That's the ultimate love we have, and we have to go love the unlovable. Loving those that are lovable is easy. We got to go love the unlovable and tell them about the gospel. So before I show my video, which is coming up, just in case you're new to the church, you should be aware that there's several outreaches we do, and I want you all to be aware of it. And when they come up, please get involved. Faith come by hearing, you know about that. That's donating money to spread the gospel by translating the gospel into other people's languages. That's easy. Easy to support. We have the Gideons, where we have a Gideon evangelist in our church. Support him. Talk to him. Help him. It's a great ministry. We have something called Meet in the Street. You guys haven't ever done with that? That's we go out, we barbecue, and we meet people in our town. I think we should do better. I think we should do more this year on the Meet in the Street. I think we should be talking the gospel. We have people in our town that need help. We can spread our love. We have Pumpkin Patch and Water Ministry, where we reach out to our community and show them love. Water Ministry, I don't know how long you've been doing it now, Robert. 10 years? 9 or 10 years. And people know about us, and they go there and they see us because we are giving out water and lemonade and coffee. Love your community. The Philippines, of course, I'll show you the video in a sec. That's where we've gone many years. I think Jim's going to his 30-something year to the Philippines. I can't remember. He told me it was amazing. I've gone 3 times. I don't know how many times Pat's gone. Definitely is worth going if you want an experience. Other opportunities that Pat's looking into, we have, you know, other folks here that are from other countries, like Puerto Rico. I know they have a contact maybe in Romania. These are other places we can go if you're led to go. And there are other missionaries at our church. I know Pat mentioned some earlier, but I don't know if you know Allie Sutherland's down at Christian Challenge helping ours. You know, we have people that are in the ministry from our church. And actually, my 2 daughters are going on mission trips this summer. I know there's probably others. Lots of ways to support missions, but not just support them, but also consider going. So I guess we're all busy. I know it's hard to find, we always think about how hard it was to find time to go on mission trips and go talk to people, but I just want to really, this year I think Pat wants to make it kind of a focus that we spend some time praying, go into that room, pray, how can I help, where can I go, what can I do? And just trust God's going to show you where to go. He's going to give you the strength to do it. So all I had to share, this video is about 15 minutes long. This is, I said, the best I could say of the Philippines churches I've been trying to give you a good old, reason to go to the church, reason to go to the Philippines, and trying to get you all interested in going in the future. So, and this is, they waited up all night for me to show up for my flight, so. All those boats are. Church, you'll see the Philippines. So this is what we're supporting. I think there's about 14 or 15 churches. don't know how many churches Pastor Bong has, but so this is how their pastors live. They usually live in that building. It's a concrete slab with basically four walls that are usually bamboo. Sometimes they have cinder block walls. So, and these little town, these pastors reach, you know, the churches usually have about 50 to 60 people, a minimum, just kind of show up. So it's amazing what you guys are doing with your money every month. A dollar goes a long way in the Philippines. People at this conference, and one thing to remember, this is during a typhoon. Do you remember, Pat, where they actually closed all the roads, they closed all the boats, and people walked from miles away to get to this conference. Pretty amazing, and bicycled in the typhoon, so it's actually pretty amazing. Thank you. many, but they told me to sit down after a while in the pictures. Just put aside just for me to wear. I do all these pictures this time because I wanted you guys to know all the pastors you guys have been supporting. This is all the pastors and workers we've been supporting for over a decade probably, so you have faces to the names. It's our vacation day, so we do get to do something fun. And that's me on a moped, believe it or not. Eat the dead skin off your feet. Well, that was a trip in 2018. You guys should consider going in the future. Typical day was get up, go to a church, pray with the pastors, eat lunch with the pastors, give a message, and then pray with the church, and then go home. But it was amazing. And if that doesn't get you motivated, I don't know what to. So thanks for your time, and have a good day, guys.